So this afternoon, as I said just now, we shall commence a study of the one of the wisdom book, and that is the Song of Solomon. So here we know from chapter 1, verse 1, that the writer of this book, the author of this book, is none other than King Solomon, the son of David. The theme of this book, which is what we want to gather for our spiritual edification, the theme of this book is the union and communion of love between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Of course, as you know, the church referring to the redeemed people of God, the believers. As to the purpose of this book, why did Solomon write this book? And why did God give us this book? It is to stir up our affection, the believer's affection of both the Old and New Testament saints, that we may seek an experiential fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in all other means of grace that the Lord has given to us. So our first study, I would like to consider with you verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Our subject is delightful graces and love to Christ. Delightful graces and love to Christ. But before that, I shall give you a little brief outline of this chapter. Chapter 1 describes to us the bride's longing or desire for Christ, who encourages her and confirms his love for her, the church. Now many has Christian has considered this book, the Song of Solomon, as to be a story of love between two persons, which is not correct. It is actually a book concerning Christ and His church, Christ and His redeemed people. And so the brief outline is this. From verses 2 to 4, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, we have the church or the people of God longing for the Lord Jesus. Longing for the Lord Jesus. These are all written in poetic language or figure of speech. And so we have to read and understand this book in such a way. And then verses 5 to 7, the church, the people of God, laments her present and past state or condition and desire Christ. Verses 5 to 7. And then from verses 8 to 11, we have Christ who is speaking. He declares His love for His church, her beauty, and His promises to the church. And then in the final section, verses 12 to 17, the church praises Christ and His house, the house referring to God's dwelling place. And so let us turn our attention to verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell or the fragrance thereof. What is this verse referring to? Or what is the teaching or lesson of this verse? First, we see here that the king is gone from the earth. And that is, the king here refers to the Lord Jesus. Now we are given a picture that Christ is seated at his table in heaven, in the kingdom of God, surrounded now by not by those publicans and sinners, but surrounded now by cherubims and seraphim, not by the mocking crowds who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." But now here we see King Jesus surrounded by the cherubim and the seraphim, and then adoring hosts. The king sits at his table and he is entertaining or entertains the glorious company of the faithful, the saints, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Before that, we know from scripture that the Lord Jesus fought before he could rest, before he ascended to heaven. On earth, during his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus struggled with his enemies, and it was not till he had triumphed over them that he sat down at the table on high. This is the picture of what Solomon is writing here. There in heaven sits the King of Kings. There sits until his last enemy shall be made his footstool. What can we do, brethren? What can we do while our Lord Jesus right now is not with us physically? And right now he is up in heaven while Christ sits at the table above. How can we reach him? How can we get close to the King of Kings while we are on this sin cursed world and Christ right now is no longer with us in person here? Well, our hands cannot reach him, our eyes cannot see him, but we can still see with the eye of faith. We can still commune with him, and that is by our prayer. Our prayer is like this sweet spikenard, this perfume set burning here on earth. Our prayers, like this sweet perfume, can rise in smoke to the place where the king sits at his table, and our spikenard can diffuse a perfume even in heaven itself. Do we not desire, as God's people, desire to reach Christ, desire to be closer with our Savior, desire to walk closer with him, desire to know him more, to know the mind of Christ, and to do his will? Do we not desire to do so? And how can we do that? Yes, praise the Lord, he has made a way for us, and that is through prayer. Would you now adore him? Would you now set forth your love for your Savior? And so it is, with mingled praise and prayer, like the offering of the morning and evening sacrifice, with incense of prayers, we can do so. Reach our Savior, seek his hearing of our petition. We can do so through prayer, which can come up to him acceptably before the Lord Jesus. And this is what each of us believers ought to do daily while we sojourn on in this sin-cursed world. But brethren, take heart. The day is soon coming. The day is soon coming when the king shall sit at his table in royal state, in his eternal kingdom. Let the church, let you and I who are the redeemed people of God, let us never forget that this world is not our final home. This world is not our final destiny. We are moving. We are soon arriving at the new heaven and the new earth. The first event of the church, of each believer, is her faith. The second event for us, the believers, is our hope of glory to come. The first event with the cross lays the foundation. the second advent with crowns. With the crowns brings forth the top stone or the headstone. The former usher in sigh, sorrow, tears. The latter shall hail with shoutings of grace, grace unto it. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7. And so when the king manifested and recognized in his sovereign rule over all lands, shall sit at his table with his church, with his people. Then in that blessed millennium, the graces of Christians shall give forth their odors of sweet Savior. Meanwhile, may the Lord give us much grace and the strength that we need, and that we will seek that strength and that help, that we may patiently wait for that day to come. And meanwhile, to occupy ourselves in doing the will of God while waiting. We can also render the verse in another way, which is in relation to the spiritual presence of Christ as he reveals himself to his people. We read here, when the king seated at his table. That is, we can enjoy the presence of Christ. And then the word followed by, my spikenard giveth forth the smell thereof. And so our graces are in active exercise and yield a perfume agreeable to our own soul and acceptable before God. Now we shall move on to look at this verse in greater details. First observation of our text is this. Every Christian believer possesses grace constantly or continuously. Every believer possesses grace continuously or constantly. The text implies that when the king is not present, the spikenard yields no smell. The spikenard yields no smell. The spouse speaks of her spikenard as though she had it and only wanted to have the king to come and sit at the table and to make its presence known and felt. So, for us, the believers, in our time, there is this grace in your heart as a child of God. And if you are a child of God, when you cannot see yourself, when you are in doubt, because your doubts may so cover you that you give up hope, yet for all that, grace may be there. Brethren, though you and I from time to time struggle and falter in our walk with the Lord Jesus, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Be comforted to know that grace may be there. Every believer, if you are truly planted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal life is there. Though at times we may be assailed by doubts and fears, though at times we may be discouraged and downcast, but be assured, if you are truly in Christ, planted, sealed by the Holy Spirit, the life, eternal life is there. Do you know that there are many things that keep a Christian spikenard from being poured out? We have it there, but often we cannot or did not or could not produce the fragrance. Why? Because there is sin. Yes, shameful, cruel sin to rob the Lord Jesus of his glory. But when we fall into sin, of course, we know our graces becomes weak and yield no fragrance to God. Our life as a Christian living a life of sin will not in any way helps us to yield fragrance to God and for his glory. And besides sin, then there is also the sin of unbelief, which puts a very heavy stone on all our graces and blows out the heat, which was burning the frankincense, so that no outer smoke arises towards heaven. Our spiritual life, our prayer life, our devotional life, the reading of God's word, all becomes dull, unalive, and often it may also be our bitterness of spirit when our mind is cast down, when we hang our heads down so that we sing no song unto God. And above all that, if Christ be absent, if through neglect or other means, our fellowship with Christ is certainly suspended, hindered, and grace is not there. But yet, it is still present, though we cannot see it or feel it. But brethren, though we mention this, yet in the mercy of the Lord Jesus continued to grant us grace, and His Spirit continued to sanctify us and to give us the grace to move on in our journey. Now I come to my second point, which is this. Every believer is to always exercise their God-given grace. Every believer is to always exercise their God-given grace. And if I understand it correctly, a Christian, he should be a man readily discerned. He should be a man or a woman that is clearly seen. You do not need to write on a box that contains Spikenard with the lid open, the word Spikenard. You will know it is there. How? By your nostril, because your nostril will pick up the smell. And so therefore it is also for grace. True grace, like Spikenard or any other perfume, should speak for itself. You know, our Lord Jesus, our Savior, compares us, the Christians, to lights. And so, if the Christian whose life is a light to the world, it must be readily noticeable, observable, isn't it? When in the midst of darkness, and there is a light that stands out, is it not true that that would be very distinctive? You will notice it. You will notice that light. And so, not only should the Christian be perceptive, but grace has given to him that it might exercise it in it. And so what is faith? Unless it is believing, isn't it? What is faith? Unless it is believing. What is love? Unless it is embracing. What is patience? Unless it is enduring. To what purpose is knowledge? Unless it is revealing truth. What are any of those sweet graces which the Master, our Lord Jesus, gives to each one of us, His redeemed people? For what purpose? That we may yield the perfume. Unless we yield that perfume, unless we sample, as the verse tells us here, the smell thereof. So I fear many of us Christians, we do not look unto the Lord Jesus enough, and to see afresh with our mind's eye that face of our Lord Jesus covered with bloody sweat while in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have not spent enough time and energy and effort in private devotion and meditation and contemplation, and to recall and to sort of in our mind play back, so to speak, those sins that we read in scripture of Jesus agonizing in prayer for his people, for himself, for the church. Because if we do that, if we do more and more of that, to spend our time and energy to look unto the Lord Jesus in prayer and in communion with him more and more, and to recall the suffering that our Savior went through, then, if we do that, as sure as the King was thus in our thoughts, sitting at his table, we should be more like him. We should love him better. We should live more passionately for him, and should spend and be spent, that we might promote Christ's glory. The believers' graces, like spikenard, are meant to give forth their smell, their fragrance. And so now we come to the essence of this whole subject, which is this, my third head. Every exercise of Christian graces must have the presence of the Master. You read the verse again in verse 12. While the King sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Jesus is called the King. The Hebrew word for King is very emphatic. It is like the King, the King of Kings, the greatest of all kings. And therefore, Jesus must be such a King to us, the Christian believer. Absolute Master of our hearts. That's what we consider this morning, isn't it? In our study of James chapter 4, submitting ourselves to God. And so, submitting ourselves to God, it is referring to our submission to our Master, with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Our Lord Jesus must be our soul's domain, the unrivaled one in our estimation, to whom we render obedience with eagerness. We must have Jesus as King, or else we shall not have his presence through his Holy Spirit to revive our graces. We are unable to do that unless we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we have the Holy Spirit indwell in us to generate that Christian graces. And when the King communes with his people, it is said to be at his table. Look at the verse again. While the King sitteth at his table. Not my table, not yours, but especially this is referring to the table of communion. It is his table, because if there is anything good on it, remember, it is Christ who spread it. There is nothing on the table unless he himself is there or be there. There is no food to the child of God unless Christ's body be the flesh and Christ's blood the wine. We must have Christ. It must be emphatically his table by his being present at the table, by his spreading it, by his presiding it, or else we have not Christ's presence at all. Therefore, let us draw near to our Lord Jesus to have close fellowship with him. And that is why there is this great need for us, each one of us, Christians, born again believers, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, to draw close or draw near to our Lord Jesus Christ, to have that close, sweet, intimate fellowship with him. And that is only possible
when you and I
seek the Lord
in the reading and meditation of His Word, in prayer, and of course, in fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to support one another. And so there is a depth, a matchless depth in Jesus' love. There is a flavorful sweetness in the fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You and I, who are God's children, we must eat, or we will never know the flavor of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 34 verse 8. And then you see here from this verse, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see how readily our God, how readily He welcomes sinner, and therefore trust in Him and live. Believe on Him. Oh, brethren, never forsake your Savior. Never forget Him. Call upon Him daily. Call unto Him, and He will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Feed on Him. Feed on His Word. Grow in grace and knowledge of Him. Commune with Him. And that is in prayer. And be happy and be blessed. May every one of us who sit at the table have the nearest approach to the Lord Jesus that you ever had. Like two streams that, after flowing side by side, finally unite, so may Christ and our soul, bought and cleansed by the blood of Christ, that Christ and our soul melt into one, till only one life shall flow, so that the life we live in the flesh shall be no more ours, but that Christ lives in us. May the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, work this blessing in us. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for such love that You have for undeserving sinners like us. How in Your great mercy, indeed we are unable to comprehend and to plumb the depth of Your love for sinners, the depth of Your love for each one of Your children. You love us enough, Lord, to send Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the penalty for our sins. O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Spirit will increase our faith, will increase our love for Thee, will increase our love for Thy Word, for Thy laws, and for Thy commandments, and for Thy will, to keep them out of our love to Thee. In gratitude to You for what Thou hast done for us on Calvary's cross. O Heavenly Father, we pray for Your Spirit to stir up this love in us, to draw us closer to Thee. And as we draw close to Thee, that Thou will be gracious not to pass us by, but indeed to draw nigh unto us. And so we pray for the pouring forth of Your Holy Spirit upon each one of Your children in greater measure. And Lord, in this new week, may Thou help us that we may sit at Your table, and that Your Holy Spirit will enable us through our Christian graces to send forth the fragrance thereof for Thy namesake. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.